Welcome to the Event Hustler Show. I'm Liz King Caruso, and I can't wait to dive into some of the hottest event industry topics in this resource for planners by planners. Let's jump in. Well, hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Event Hustler Show. I am very excited for today's episode because we're going to be talking to Jennifer Clark of Emerge Events and really going further in our series behind the scenes of the Texi Talk team. People always ask, you know, how do you do all these different things that you're doing? And as I've said on previous episodes, I just am not the one who's doing it all because that would never get done. even with everything that we do, there's a lot that doesn't get done, but it's through partnering with amazing people like Jennifer that we can do things and, and accomplish for our clients. So anyway, Jennifer, hello, welcome. I don't want to talk too much about you before saying hi.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
I know you're not really excited to be here. Jennifer is one of those very humble people who I know I had to like drag you on here, but that's okay.
Yeah, I can postpone things like this forever. But it's good to be here, really.
I'm so glad to have you. So I thought it would be fun today just to talk about a little bit about Emerge Events, your company, and your work in the events industry, which happened long before you and I started working together. And then we can also just talk about like what we've been doing together, how we started working together, and maybe some of the crazy stories from what has it been, 2 years we've been working together now, a year and a half, something like that?
I think so. It's flying by.
It is, basically since the pandemic hit and we decided.
Right.
But first, why don't you tell people about a little bit about your backstory?
So I started this business 11 years ago, I guess, at this point, maybe 12. After 10, I kind of lose track, yeah. But I never strategically set out to be an event planner. It wasn't like something this was not my degree. My degree was in anthropology, which is very useful, but just different. But I was approached to do some events, and I had been doing events in various roles for several years. And then someone wanted to do an event with me, and we did an event together. And at that point I was not sure what I was going to do, but I was like, if I'm going to do this event, I need to know, who am I? Like, am I a business doing this event? I needed to put myself out there. So I just created an event company, and kind of the first few years, and then the pandemic, of course, I'm an expert at flying by the seat of my pants, I think. So I'm very flexible and just learn on the fly kind of person, and did all kinds of events over the years. As a lot of event planners come to realize, not every event is the kind of event you want to be doing. And I did your Ignite program several years ago. And that's how I guess originally met. And through that process, kind of figured out the events I wanted to do and the kind of clients I really wanted to have. And that was very hard to figure out. And I'm still figuring it out, but I'm getting better at saying no to the events that I don't need to be doing. And, you know, that opens up the doors for leaving space for the events that I want to be doing. But the pandemic, of course, changed everything. So I kind of lean toward more conference type events rather than festival type events, which is where I kind of started, the outdoor kind of festival or vendor event expos and things like that. But now I really love conferences. And of course, the pandemic changed a lot of things for everybody. And luckily, I was in the right place at the right time. And I just jumped on with you with a lot of these virtual events and learn as I went. And it was life-changing, one, because I was able to learn pretty well what I needed to know, still don't know nearly enough, but then it helped me survive during the pandemic when I couldn't do my in-person events. So that was really, really amazing. And I felt like I was in the right place at the right time and just kind of let those doors open and walk through them with you, and still doing some of those events. But now that in-person is back, it's a little more complicated because we're now doing in-person together and virtual together. And then, you know, of course we have our own projects, and I still have some of my own events that I do here and other places as well. So that's basically me.
And did you say you're from Mississippi?
Did you say that? I'm from Mississippi. And until the pandemic, that's where all my events were. And post pandemic, now that events are back in person, in May of this year, I was out of state twice, once with one of our events and then once with another event. So it's odd that a pandemic would open up doors for me doing in person out of state. So that's kind of exciting.
That's so great. So in that, tell me a little more about that transition from like finding the kinds of events that you want to do and then kind of distancing yourself from events that you don't want to do. I know in the Ignite program, we had like an inside joke that we were like the quitting club because we were just like firing all of our clients at the same time as we went through this process. But how did you kind of hone in? Because you were honing in on like more corporate conferences and things before the pandemic.
Yes. And I, you know, for a long time, I thought something was wrong with me. Like, what kind of an event planner am I if I can't do it all? Like, why I have, it feels bad to say no to someone approaching me, and I'm doing it all the time. And it feels like, oh, you don't want this business. You don't want to, it just feels bad. And, you know, because you should be like, oh, so grateful. And I am grateful for the opportunity. I've had several, even in the last month, I'm handing off some of my events that I have grown and loved, but I know I'm not the right person to do them anymore. And it's hard because my vendors or my people that I work with are coming to me saying, well, what's up with this event? And I'm like, well, this person's now coordinating it. And I have full confidence in that person that they can take it better, bigger and better than I could. I feel like in some ways, my events, a lot of events I started over the years, there is definitely a time where I need to hand it off. I'm not an expert, nor do I want to be on festivals, outdoor events, things like that. And so those have kind of fallen off my plate. I'm taking them off my plate. Yes, it feels bad to say no, but I also know who to refer people to now. So locally, I'm starting to develop a network of other event planners, which really didn't have before. It's weird that now they're kind of coming out. I'm noticing who they are. And I'm, you know, kind of, here's this person would be great for this event. And then when I watch them do it, it's amazing. They're doing things that I wouldn't have done that way. And it's better. And they're better at so many aspects of it than I am. And so then I get to focus on the events that I really feel like are more what I want to be doing. But it's very hard to hone in what kind of events you want to do, and then to say no to clients. But also at this point, I'm able to refer them to people. So that makes me feel a little bit better that I'm not just saying no and leaving them there. I'm actually can, you know, I can actually refer people to other people. So that helps a lot.
But as an independent planner, like saying no to any kind of business is always a risk. You're like, I know I don't want to be doing this kind of event, but it's revenue or it's, you know. But then it feels so good when you realize that that saying no to something opened space for doing something that you're a lot better at and that you enjoy doing a lot more.
Yes, that was a life-changing moment. And it's not when you're a business owner. I mean, for me, I did not go to school for any of this. I learn as I go. No one really told me, like, you know, you do have to pick and choose what you do. I can do anything. I own my business. I'm my own boss. Mm-hmm. And I have an idea a minute. Not that they're all good ideas. That's the scary thing. Which one to pick and choose? And then people come to me with these great ideas. And I love all the ideas people come to me with, but it's not necessarily something I can do or I should do. And that's what's just so hard. And I'm still figuring out. The pandemic kind of changed everybody. And so now that we're coming, well, not out of it, but like, we're kind of living with it. Now I have to decide again. It's like every couple of years anyway, I guess we all need to be thinking about, is this what we need to be doing? Whether you're working for somebody or working for yourself, you need to think about, am I doing what's best suited for me? And I still haven't quite figured it all out yet, but it does change every couple of years. And outside influences like a pandemic definitely make a difference. And it also changes where I am in life. Like right now, my kids are in school, you know, right now, today, yay. They just started. That changes everything too. When they were like smaller, you know, my my needs were a little different, but now they're in school. And I imagine when they, you know, get out of high school and I'm de-nesting, it'll change even further. So mm-hmm. it also changes where I am in life and what the kind of life I want to lead. Do I want to be, you know, what hours do I want to work? Does, you know, it makes a lot of difference. So it evolves every few years. And that's something that you don't really think about. You have to change it. You have to go in and think, and that's the hard work. If I feel like if I'm not working on an event, I'm not really working, but I have to think about where I want my business to go in light of all these changes regularly.
Yeah, that's so hard. That always gets pushed to the bottom for me. Like, always, I know, yeah, I need to be doing it, but I have this other stack of stuff that I should be doing also that I'm, yeah, accountable to someone else for. And that's been one of the nice things about working with you, is that we're kind of accountable to each other for lots of different things, not just our client deliverables, but, you know, you kind of say something out loud and then you check in, you're like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, oh shoot, I was supposed to work on that.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, really,
that's
nice.
Another hard part of working for yourself. You know, you can push things off so easily, you know, and, yeah, it's, your clients do come back around and it's like, wait a minute, I got to get back on this. But it's good to have someone else that's there. And I know, okay, I've got to get onto this, you know?
Yeah. So we met through Ignite, as you mentioned, and that was like 2017, maybe 18.
Gosh, that's hard to believe. That was a while ago.
It must have been 2018.
You didn't have children.
I had no children. That's true. So little things have changed since then.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we met through the Ignite program. I've only met you in person one time, which is really sad, when you came to New York for the mm-hmm. consulting program. And then other than the fact that you were like very responsible, and I could tell that you knew what you were doing in terms of events just through our discussions, I guess that's what made me think to reach out to you when the pandemic hit and the entire world wanted to do virtual events. And thankfully we were very busy, but I was like, first of all, I knew I just couldn't do it all on my own. But then to your point, is that even the life that I want to live? Like when the pandemic hit, my first son Lucas was 3 months old. And I was, yes, like, I cannot be trapped in my basement 24 hours a day with this infant screaming all the time.
Right.
Yeah. I knew I had to work with other people. And that has proven to be so great for me. I hope it's been great for you.
Yes.
You have, even within events, so like you were talking about different kinds of events, and there are people who have like expertise that's a little different than yours, and so they can take it somewhere that you can't. But even within the same type of event, I think it's really important to have a team, which is something as an independent planner, I think a few years ago, I never really would have thought about that. I just thought like, oh, I have to make money, so I'm going to do as much of my projects as I can on my own. But mm-hmm. in working with you, I've really realized how important it is to have complementary skill sets working on the same thing. Like, you are so detail oriented. No one believes me when I say I'm not, but you know, you know, you're like, Liz, come on. You didn't even look at it.
That's funny. I realized recently I've really just come to notice that I notice things that other people don't really catch or notice, but sometimes, as you have seen, it gets me in trouble. Cause I'm like, I go way further the other direction. I'm like, oh my goodness, this didn't get thought about. And you're like, calm down, it's fine.
But most of the time that's really helpful stuff. Like when I think just whatever, 2 days ago or something, you were comparing hotel rates, like hotel room nights for our speakers, yes, for an upcoming event. And I miss this stuff, you know, it's like, oh shoot, they're not going to have a hotel for the last night they're here if Jennifer wasn't, yeah, checking it off.
That's the hard stuff to do. This is what I've just discovered through the pandemic, through working with you, and it's changing how I'm going to do events in the future. I cannot work alone anymore. I can't. It doesn't mean I need to go and hire a staff. It just means I need either a contractor, a partner for this event or for that event. I always thought I had to have an employee or, yeah, you know, an intern or something, but having a professional partner who's not a staff member of my business, it doesn't have to be that formal. It can be a contractor and we can work in each other's businesses. It's just like Sheila, like when we need, like if we have a Zoom question, yeah, I mean, she knows her stuff about Zoom and other things, of course. But we can pull in fellow professionals who are, you know, similar skill sets, but also that have an extra piece of something. I don't want to work alone anymore. And I'm realizing that's probably my biggest hindrance as a business owner over the years. And my events have kind of been like a ceiling that I can't get through because I do it all on my own. And it's been very a silo for one. It's like an echo chamber.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anybody to bounce ideas off of. Some of my events, my ideas are good, and some of my events just, I mean, my ideas aren't. And so working with a team, I did an event, another event in May, and there was a larger team. It was a committee. And that was so helpful because everybody had different pieces they wanted to take. You know, I was the hired planner, but we had this great committee of volunteers who took pieces of it, and they did amazing with that piece. Like one person, you know, one part of the committee handled specifically attendee like experience as far as the bags of stuff that they get. And they just did amazing because that's what they focused on. You know, we had someone else focusing on, you know, speakers and really thinking through the sessions and what did that mean for the attendees and all the various sponsors and things like that. So that person, I mean, their skill set was just on it, you know, where I just would have not. I mean, I could structure the event. I can contact the speakers. I can manage all of that. But the content would be a lot harder for me to manage for that particular event. So now I must partner with others because it's not, event planning is not something you should do alone, but I didn't know that.
It's like a warning label. Do not attempt alone.
Yes. Yes. And it doesn't mean something as scary as having to have a full-time staff or anything like that. Contracting with fellow event professionals or salespeople, you know, like for Techie Talk Global, you know, with Diana focusing on sponsors, not only does she focus on sponsors, but like getting the sponsors, she also focuses on, are we delivering what they wanted?
Yeah.
You know, constantly. So having people in the right seat on the bus, they don't have to be your employees to have them sitting in that seat.
And it's sometimes better if they're not, you know, like even the echo chamber of yourself. I mean, you can just recreate that with three or four full-time team members where that's they feel really like true. You pay their bills and, you know, you're supposed to like, they're supposed to say whatever you do is magic. It's nice that like you're working on a project when you were working on these two May events, like one of them was with me, one of them was on your own. But I was learning things based on what you were doing with that other event. And I'm sure you were learning things the other way. And so it kind of keeps things fresh. It helps you to, and you know, what independent planner can support like a huge staff of people? It would be nice, I guess. Although I kind of like it the way it is.
Well, I think it's all changing. I think with the pandemic, it really opened up the world to a new way of working. I mean, everybody, you know, you hear about the great resignation, all these things. But I think we're just now really starting to see what that means. Not everybody wants to go and work alone. Not everybody can do it. You know, it's not everybody's thing to be sitting in their house by themselves, working all day by themselves. I love it. I love it. I'm starting to go to in-person meetings again. And it's so weird for me. I'm like, I'm much more introverted than I ever realized.
Especially after the pandemic.
It's hard, but I'm doing it. But so not everybody wants to do it like this. But if you do, if you want to create a kind of life, the way we're trying to do it, it doesn't always work. I mean, some days, like last week, we had 2 days where we were sitting in front of our computers. We could not move. If my kids came home from school from their first day and I just kind of looked at them, hi, I'll be off in 20 minutes, you know?
Right, right.
But like, it's not always going to be a lot hunky-dory. Everything's perfect. But the way we're working, we can craft it around, you know, I like to take my kids to school and pick them up a lot of the time. That's my thing, you know? But that means, you know, I have to have that free time to do it. If I go work 8 to 5 in a place of business, I'm not gonna be able to do that as easily. So this kind of work allows us to craft our life in a way that our work goes around it instead of the opposite way, which is why most people work, is they put their life in the pockets that's left over from work, where we're trying to put work into the pockets of where, you know, where our life allows it. It's a different way of thinking, and it's possible. And it's really helpful for mothers, I think, and any parent, really. If you have kids, try to think about life like this. You know, how can we fit our work into our pockets of life? That's not just everything revolves around your, you know, work.
Yeah, see, now you're like touching that fireplace in me. I'm like, I could have 700 conversations about this talk about living your life and designing your life and not just kind of being stuck in the 9-to-5 job and the kids go to school for 12 years from, I don't even know what school times are because mine are still young, but you know, 9 to 3 or whatever. But so one thing that I was thinking about though, since I'm not going to get into that other topic, because that would take us down, down a very long rabbit hole. We've had team meetings where we're like, did we just talk about homeschooling for 9 hours? one thing I did want to bring up that I was thinking about, so like with the pandemic happening, it made it a lot easier to, for example, even think about working with you because all of our events were virtual. And so in the past, I've worked with more planners that are based in the New York area because it could be on site. Like we have an event today and I have 2 people going. I'm not going to even be there. But then when we started doing virtual, it opens up all this whole world of people that you could collaborate with. As you mentioned, we work with Sheila in Ohio and you and I work together from Mississippi and New York. And I was curious because I don't think in any way that I've mastered this piece of it. But one of the big things that we then have to learn and figure out systems for is how we work together, how we stay on the same page about what's happening, because we both do have our own businesses. We have our own stuff that we're working on and we both do prioritize our families and our life outside of work. So there have been many times where we'll have a call and you're like in pickup line at the bus, you know, and, or I'm at, you know, the doctor's office or whatever. And we know that we're working with this much amount of time and this is the format. What are your thoughts on like, just how to make this all work for, because I think we're definitely not the only ones who are suddenly collaborating with like global or at least national teams.
Yeah. I think that's hard because I know we try a variety of things, like, you know, using tools like Slack or like Google, all the different things that Google offers, you know.
Yeah.
And that is hard to stay on the same page, but it's easier than I think it ever has been. It's hard to imagine how anybody did events before technology. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. You know? What did you do? I mean, you faxed? I mean, I don't know. It's amazing to me the ease it takes to work with somebody. Someone the other day asked me, like, how do you plan an event in another city? You know, you're not there. I did not see the venues. We have had, you know, one of the events I did, they did a site visit, but it was pre-pandemic. And then they did another site visit post-pandemic, but I never saw it, you know, and it is harder. It is harder not to go and be able to visit it. It's hard to pack a bag, you know, for me, that was very difficult. My first time to pack a bag as an event planner to take all the things I wanted to have to make me comfortable. I'm used to having my car, you know, I can't just hop on over to, you know, make copies. I had to Uber. It's just so much more complicated.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so much easier. It actually all worked out great. So the remote work with others, you know, with Zoom and things like, we do a lot with Google, you know, it's Google Sheets and things, is life changing. All the programs that allow you to edit in real time, it just changed everything. And the fact that before the pandemic, like I had only really Zoomed with you and maybe, I don't even remember. I remember my first Zoom. I was so nervous. It was probably back when Ignite, I had never, 2017, my first Zoom. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Now it's like that's everybody's so doing it. And so I think we have to think outside the box, you know, whatever the platform, you know, if it's Slack, if it's Asana, whatever it is, everybody decides to use. And every client is different. So some clients, we have to use certain things, you know, but we just have to be flexible. I think flexibility is huge now in the event planning, any industry really. But if you're going to work remotely with teams across, you know, the United States, then be prepared for adapting to your clients' kind of needs. How do they want you to work? What are they expecting? And what kind of platform? And if they're okay with whatever, then use what you're used to. You know, we've gotten pretty good at working in a Google Sheet and, you know, for all the different things that we do. And it makes it easy. But also be prepared to work with the kid coming in still. I mean, that's how we're going to work. I know the pandemic is kind of moving forward. Kids aren't working, and kids are back in school. My kids are in school. And right now I enjoy that time to work, you know, uninterrupted time. But I understand that if I'm working at night, my kids may interrupt me. And I know your kids probably, you know, they're going to be there sometimes. And it's just something that I feel is okay. No, they can't do it during, if we have a live event, that's one thing, you know, a virtual event. But I feel like working in home, you know, is not the, it used to feel weird. It used to be like, I'm not real. I had an office once because I felt it made me more valid. And I don't, that none of that's needed anymore. None of it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I need an office. People, some people love working in an office, but we don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because like, I do sometimes still feel like, oh shoot, you know, my kids are in the background. they're in the background all the time, as Jennifer knows. And then I was talking to someone recently who said, you know, that's what her kids were always in the background. Her kids are older now. She was saying, that's exactly what I wanted. She's like, I wanted my kids around. And I was thinking, yep. Yeah, that is what I want too. I mean, that's why they don't have, I mean, granted, we had for a while the excuse of like, we don't have childcare because of COVID. But then when it comes to like evaluating it, it's kind of like, well, I kind of like them around.
Yeah.
I had them to have them around.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's like something that's really going to change. You mentioned earlier about like designing your work to fit into your life. And people are saying that like, oh, people are being like, even for full-time jobs, they're being more demanding about working from home and what hours they have. And, and I could see the rub for companies who think that that's how you control your employees, yeah, is to have them around all the time. But I really wonder if that's going to change, if we're going to see more, and I hope we're going to see more people who are like, hey, I don't want to work 9 to 5 every single day of my life.
Yeah. And that's what I want people to understand that. I want people, especially you moms who have littles, you know, or dads who have littles and want to be home. It's not long. I mean, unless you have a lot of kids back to back, it's really a short amount of time where you can, if you choose to, some people just would go stir crazy at home all day, yeah, with their children. And I completely get that. So it just depends, you know, but if you want to have some sort of life where you're kind of, your kids are with you. One, the kids have to understand you're seeing me working all the time. My kids, for a little bit, they were like, why are you always on your computer? I'm like, well, some parents don't see you until 5 o'clock, you know, so they're just seeing all of this, you know, so, but now as they get older, they like it and they appreciate it. You know, it's just like the in-person events they used to go to with me. They were working with me there. I brought, you know, many an infant to an event, you know, or setting up or whatever. But now it's just, it looks differently, you know. How it looks, because I'm always on the computer when I'm home, but I can also go jump in the pool. You know, I can go close the computer. I'm getting better at it too. You know, let me just close the computer for a couple of hours, could jump in the pool with them. They're fine. They got my attention. I got, you know, all got to work out, and then they go do their own thing for a little bit. You know, it's a little different when you have little littles. It does change.
But I can't wait.
I'm pretty passionate about this. And I think maybe you and I need to talk about this more publicly. It can be done. It's hard. It's not saying, yeah, it's not easy. I see your emails coming in late at night when, after you put the kids to bed, same here.
Yeah.
It's not easy, totally, but it can work. And if several of us, you know, come together and discuss it a lot, I think it could make it more normal and share tips and things.
Yeah. I think, it's not easy, but to live the life that you actually want to live, that's never easy. And I would say on the other side of things, I see constantly like parents who have a 9 to 5 job and it's not easy for them to drop their kids off at daycare. I mean, to your point, some people, that is what they want, but for some people, that's just a different version of hard. Putting your kids in daycare all day while you go work your 9 to 5.
And there needs to be more in between. There is not that many options like,
yeah,
part-time daycare, or I wish my kids could go to school like 3 days a week. During the pandemic, it was great. We had the hybrid schedule. My daughter loved it, my middle schooler. Mm. And for me, that would be a perfect situation, but it doesn't really work. I mean, it's either in or out here, yeah, at least. But daycares, I wish there'd be more options for more than just like a mom's day out, more like a part-time daycare, you know, but it's really hard to find that. But that's kind of what I would love to see, or even like moms partnering together. We don't see this enough either. Like if two moms, if we lived in the same city kind of thing, you know, we're yeah. like, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or just look at your schedule and I'll take the kids and then they have someone to play with. Partner with other moms who are trying to do the same thing and share childcare with each other. There's so many different ways to do it. We just all have to think about it. Think about it. That's, you know, if you don't want to go back to work at 6 weeks, you know, let's think about how can we do this? What kind of work could you do?
Yeah.
That's not gimmicky. That's, you know, that actually is real job, you know, and some people do, some people are ready to go back and that's great too.
Yeah.
But it's what you want.
The flexibility. Yeah.
Yeah. Fit in. It's not either or. It doesn't have to be either or, but it takes a lot of thinking and creativity and hard work to make it happen.
See, when you and I talk, we always talk about things like this. And I was like, oh, try to stay to events stuff. but this is the core of who we are, is that there is the event side. The ability to collaborate gives us so much more flexibility than even what we had when we were doing it all on our own. And it allows us to design the life that we want. And that's really, I think, where both of our passions are. I know, I mean, this was years ago, but we did an interview with you about Emerge Moms, which is another passion of yours. So I knew it was kind of our conversation was going this way. But I think I would not be surprised if a lot of people who are listening to this are resonating with it and having similar thoughts, like, how could I tweak things? Collaboration is a huge key, you know, just being able to work with people who are better at you in different things, and you can, you know, complement them in other ways, and together you can create more flexibility for everyone.
Yep. And the collaboration doesn't have to end at professional. The collaboration could also mean, you know, I'm cooking a double meal this week so that my friend attempts to cook this week, and next week they cook. You know, there's so many different ways to think about collaborating in life. We all think that we have to live in our silos and be super independent and managing it all on our own. Well, why not work with other, you know, parents who are going through the same thing, and the grandparents? Like, I'm very lucky to have mine nearby. I could not have survived without them. Yeah, and seriously. I know you have the same situation too. Mm-hmm. And it helps to have a community surrounding you of professionals and personal friends and things.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, if people want to connect with you directly, maybe they want to collaborate with you on another project. How do you want people to reach, like, to find you?
I'm everywhere at Emerge Events is, you know, Facebook and Instagram and all those things. And for the topic of motherhood, Emerge Moms is there. It's definitely been on the back burner, but it is something, as you can see, we get sparked up about these kinds of things. And mm-hmm. the whole idea of Emerge Moms is, connecting with other mothers and just kind of this whole idea of rethinking how we do life, you know, kind of putting motherhood and what we see as motherhood, what we like about it, what do we want to, what does our motherhood look like, kind of at the forefront and crafting our life around it. But that's also everywhere on social media as well, Emerge Moms. And I keep saying this, but it's going to be populated with more content. I just need to not get it off the back burner.
Put it out there and it will happen. Build it. It will come. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me for 30 minutes. It's always fun, especially when we're not specifically talking about a project, because that's has to happen, but these conversations are more fun. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope you'll have lots of opportunities to work with other event profs in different ways, whether it's Emerge Moms or Emerge Events.
Thank you. This has been great.
Love it. All right. So thank you all for listening. Please do connect with Jennifer. If you'd like to join our, is this called a team? I'm not really sure. Our weird taxi talk team of collaborators, reach out, because we're always doing new things. We need to find people who are really good at what they do so that we can collaborate. So please do reach out. And until then, we will see you on more episodes of the Event Hustler Show. We try to release them every week. So thank you for spending some of your time listening. We'll see you next time. Till then.